Okay, this is Mae Brussel talking about the scandal going on in Italy, the government behind a government, the secret team, because this has been taking place in the United States for the past 17, 18 years, more open since the murder of John Kennedy. And that secret team was caught sending $2 billion out of Italy to Argentina for purposes of a fascist organization with allegiance to something larger than the Italian government. We hear talk about the Soviet Union and world communism, but there's very little talk about world fascism, even though very many countries have been overthrown in the past 30 years for the express purpose of the resurgence of the Nazi regime. As soon as Pinochet was in power in Chile, the swastikas came out, and I can go on and on, the various countries that are linked and funded by this activity. Going back to the New York Times article on the Italian elite embroiled in the Masonic scandal, the author of that article, Henry Tanner, said, the financial establishment has been decapitated by the arrest of the various banking officials. In Milan, the story came out, they have literally been decapitated. They're in limbo, the financial establishment. And also the same man, the banker that's involved with these shenanigans, this Roberto Calvi, recently bought 40% of a particular publishing house, the Rizzoli Publishing House, and he owns Corriere della Sera, the leading newspaper in Italy. You can make the same comparisons to the major news media in this country, CBS, NBC, ABC Broadcasting, their talk shows, the news that comes over these stations, and the major newspapers, the AP, the UPI, in the United States. They have an allegiance that goes much farther than to the United States. It is to a world order, and the world order is fascism. They do not tell the truth on these assassinations, whether it's the Manson family, the SLA, the multi-murders of the mind-control zombies, the John Lennon killing, the Jonestown killing. The newspaper media is controlled in this country, like it is in Italy, by payoffs, by people placed in top positions in order to allow that world fascism. A perfect example is Gerald Ford, who was a member of the House of Representatives and was appointed to the Warren Commission when John Kennedy was murdered. He was appointed there by former Vice President Richard Nixon. In the very first meeting, I've had this many times on the air, the subject came up. Earl Warren said, what should we do about handling the local press? Handling meant to keep from the American people the links of Lee Harvey Oswald to the world Nazi organization, or the breaking up of the Entente at the time that Eisenhower and Khrushchev wanted peace with John Kennedy. It was before Kennedy was in power, when Eisenhower wanted peace, breaking the U-2 flight, having it come down, so Khrushchev called off the peace conference. Earl Warren hid the Nazi links to Lee Harvey Oswald after that great feat. But they said in their meetings, what should we do about the local press if they want a story? And Gerald Ford said, well, gentlemen, I can handle the AP, the Associated Press, and the UPI, meaning I control the two major sources of news coming out of the country, and the small newspapers will have to take them on their own. So whatever goes to the major newspapers comes over the wire services. And it was that kind of protection, and it now is more important for you to realize the role of Gerald Ford on, 15 or 16 major corporations, and with Anna Chenault and the Flying Tigers and the Pebble Beach Corporation. He's a multinational millionaire with links to the same fascist organization and the Christian Front organizations from the Dallas-Fort Worth area that work with John Hinckley Sr. and Jr., and his fangs of fascism haven't changed one bit since he was appointed to the Warren Commission, or Richard Nixon was working with Nikolai Maloxa of the Iron Guard, the Romanian Iron Guard that had headquarters down in Argentina. They used his office in Whittier, California, as a cover dummy front for a Western Tube Corporation, a non-existent fascist organization. These people, the Gerald Fords and the Richard Nixons, have allegiance to this same hidden government or fascist organization in Argentina that the Italian government has. It's being exposed now. I wrote about that, as I say, about Watergate articles in 1972, and now it's coming out in Italy, but don't think that our heads of states represent the interest of the people in the United States or their welfare or are concerned about their savings or security or their livelihood or their housing or their health. The wealth and the profits and the banks that are spilling over, the narcotics traffic profits going down to those funds down in South America, to Uruguay, Paraguay, Chile, Argentina are part and parcel of the same Italian secret society that got a little exposure this week and probably will be getting more in the weeks to come. As I say, these men are involved in newspapers and have important newspapers in Italy. Among the army generals named in this scandal, there's a name that appeared on the list as a Mason member of the Secret Lodge. His name is Raphael Guiducci, G-I-U-D-I-C-E, former commander of the Finance Guard. He's the head of the paramilitary force specializing in border control and anti-smuggling operations. Now, the thing that funds these fascist organizations is smuggling operations, heroin, cocaine, you name it, all over the world, whether it's in any form, the hashish, the marijuana, and so forth. So the head of the anti-smuggling operation, Border Control, is a member of the secret society with the dual allegiance. Now, if you wonder how Muhammad Ali Ajah traveled from a prison in 1979 and left there in November and had $50,000 to spend before he ended up in St. Peter's, where he shot at the Pope, that his money comes from those operations, but if he traveled over borders from Iran and back into Turkey, into Bulgaria and Switzerland and Germany and England and down to Palermo and Sicily and Tunisia, he was in Naples and Rome and back to Rome and Mallorca. These people who are part of these assassination teams, whether it's David Mark Chapman, who shot John Lennon, or the man who shot the Pope, or John Hinckley, who can travel all around the United States into New Haven, New York, Alabama, Georgia, Chicago, and St. Louis, Missouri, Texas, all over the globe, back to Hollywood. They zigzag all around. They have money. In this country, they cross state lines with no trouble. But in Europe, they go all over the place, and if they leave the United States, they can travel all around the world like Chapman did, in Bangkok, Hong Kong, Zurich, Switzerland, London, and back to Hawaii and Georgia, New York, and the guy that shot John Lennon. If the man in charge of border controls and anti-smuggling operations in these countries, if those people are involved with this dual allegiance, that tells you how Interpol can't find them, because Interpol is part and parcel of the same fabric. Another man in jail at the present time in Italy in connection with this fraud, sending money overseas, was another high officer in the army, and he worked with this Guiducci as part of the finance operation and the smuggling operation, so that these high officials are now, some being put in jail, but they had important positions. Another person, a list of traitors, was they had a list of 20 officers, known officers of the organization called the Carabinieri. That's a prestigious paramilitary police corps. That's the equivalent of our SWAT teams in Los Angeles, in San Francisco, in Atlanta, Georgia, the New York City Red Squad, the Chicago Squads. These are select groups. Our Attorney General this week said that the SWAT teams, the select teams, are on the lookout for terrorists or for people rioting this summer in the streets, because Ronald Reagan's going to cut off their occupations, their sources of income, their savings, and we'll have riots. So in come the prestigious paramilitary police corps. They're training down at Camp Roberts with simulated war affair, and that's one place in California where they're carrying on their mini war. The troops are ready to handle us, but the prestigious paramilitary police group, similar to Squad 19, the Los Angeles Police Department group that worked with Richard Nixon and E. Howard Hunt and James McCord, planning to kill Richard Nixon during the 1972 conventions and make Spiro Agnew the president. A peek at our Watergate is a peek at the Italian affairs now, and 20 officers of the paramilitary police elite corps, as well as a man in charge of the borders, was picked up. Also, another man picked up was General Giovanni Grassini. He's chief of what SISDE, which is the Secret Intelligence and Security Minister. That would be like pulling in George Bush, which I think we should do, under house arrest for the assassination attempt on Ronald Reagan, or Alexander Haig. I think these people have a direct connection to what happened in Washington, D.C. in front of the Hilton Hotel. I think they are linked to the secret teams, Richard Helms, E. Howard Hunt, William Colby, George Bush. The CIA has been a government behind a government, and in Italy, they pulled in a biggie in the head of the secret intelligence and security minister, General Giovanni Grassini. At the time of Watergate, when they were arrested in June, and we soon have an anniversary coming up in 2 weeks of the arrest at the Watergate Hotel, I wrote that Richard Nixon would be out of office because of Watergate, and John Mitchell and the entire gang around him were involved in that scandal of the government within a government. And John Mitchell, the attorney general, was removed from office, and Richard Helms was slapped with a perjury charge, was removed from the CIA, and a lot of top officials changed places. Robert Mardian was kicked out of the Justice Department and Kleindienst and so forth. We had a change of officials of this hidden government here. L. Patrick Gray from the National Security Council, who was the acting director of the FBI at the time. We had that group, Mardian and G. Gordon Liddy, used to go down the archives and watch Adolf Hitler's pictures, and they hired members of Hitler's Gestapo in Florida and elsewhere to work with Donald Segretti. This same ball of wax, the United States, that came out at the time of Watergate, is coming out in Italy now. If there were more bank robberies and more money missing when Watergate fell, and people were hurting more, we would have had a better investigation then. But we let it slide, and now Italy has pulled in the chief of the SISDE, which is the Secret Intelligence and Security Minister, and then they pulled in another general, Giuseppe Sandovito, the head of SIME, the security unit of the defense ministry, also a member of this Masonic group, this secret group. The Masonic Lodge that Mr. Gelli formed as a double agent from Italy and Argentina began in 1963 in Rome. Now, Pope John XXIII died June 3, 1963. John Kennedy was killed November 22, 1963. That was the year when Kennedy, Khrushchev, and Pope John Paul XXIII wanted peace again. That was the second round for peace after Eisenhower had won it with Khrushchev, and it was ruined by the downing of the U-2 over the Soviet Union and broke up the subject of d'entente, a word never heard anymore, peace or d'entente. We had one dry when Eisenhower wanted it, and Alan Dulles, head of the CIA, and his brother John Foster Dulles made sure it didn't happen. The next chance came in 1963, but Pope John XXIII, who was close to John Kennedy and Khrushchev, died, and a few months later, John Kennedy was killed. Then the secret team was in full power in the United States. They took over here, and the end of the peace movement, that was tucked away and forgotten. And in 1963 is when Gelli became very strong. And again, I've had on the program mentioned a book, Treason for My Daily Bread, with the links of the Nazis from Argentina and Chile, linked to Clay Shaw, who was in the OSS with Alan Dulles, and then the CIA, directly linked to Rome. And I'll do a program soon and update you on the Permandex organization and the meeting of the fascists for world fascism again after World War II was over. The Mussolini Hitler gang in Italy that set up headquarters in Argentina and Chile, particularly Argentina, to get ready for World War III. In 1963, this propaganda duo, the Lodge, was formed just as the fangs of fascism came in this country. And as I say, the president was dead here and the peace-loving Pope was dead in Italy. And out of the 550 Masonic Lodges, as I've said before, there are about 15,000 members in the lodges in Italy. It's mainly a particular group, that is involved in this scandal that is coming out. It's similar to speaking to members of the FBI or agents of the FBI, and I've talked to them about Division 5 of the FBI and William Sullivan and the use of missionaries and Albert Osborne to run schools of assassination down in Mexico or South America. The average FBI agent never heard of such a thing. For all of the FBI agents around the country that work to serve their government, that believe they're finding some form of justice or solving bank robberies or kidnapping or murders, there is a handful in Washington, D.C., and in every police department where these SWAT teams or special squads are that belongs to the fascist organization, such as L. Patrick Gray. I wrote about him also in 1972, covering up murders that were done by these teams in Los Angeles, specifically of Ruben Salazar and other people, U.S. Attorney Robert Meyer, and covering up the Isla Vista riots in Santa Barbara. This secret team in Italy really got its muscles and its dual allegiance the very year that John Kennedy was murdered in the United States. The San Jose Mercury had an article just last Sunday. I finished with parts of the New York Times article. This one was titled, "Italy's Justice Minister Quits in the Lodge Spy Scandal." This is also a this is a UPI story coming over the wire services as well as a local paper here. The justice minister in Italy, Adolfo Sarti, resigned. He's the first casualty of the Christian Democratic Party with their murky Italian scandal. And this goes into another colonel, Antonio Vieser, V-I-E-Z-Z-E-R, arrested on spy charges, a former official of the military intelligence organization who has been arrested on spy charges against Italy. They're really spying and working for Argentina. This article discusses the relationship of the Justice Minister Sarti and Mr. Gelli combined with their work with the Masonic Lodge, that it's a power within the state's power, and the involvement of them with Mr. Sindona. And this story, the story that came over this wire service, has said the scandal involves a labor minister, Franco Foschi, a foreign trade minister, Mr. Manca, prominent politicians who are not part of the cabinet directly, but famous politicians in Italy, the Secret Service chiefs, not just one that I mentioned, but the chiefs of the Secret Service. And again, this goes to who protects officials. I know that the Secret Service did not protect John Kennedy, Robert Kennedy, Martin Luther King, or Ronald Reagan, or the Pope, and they were allowed to be shot. The Secret Service chiefs are part of these teams. Army generals, they referred to the finance, police officials, and newspaper editors. This group, according to the story in the San Jose Mercury, was accused as being a secret organization that has been barred from Italy's constitution for a long time. If you want to know more about the Masons, not the working Masons, but the one that is linked to the assassination teams or the control of a world government, there's a very good book by Neil Wilgus, W-I-L-G-U-S, called The Illuminoids, Secret Societies and Political Paranoia. There's an introduction by Robert Anton Wilson. And this book goes into the beginning of the Masonic fraternities. And as I say, it's not every Mason that is conspiratorially minded, but one group of the Masons, maybe in each country or each city, may be part of the secret team, and they use that as their cover. His book goes into the Warren Commission, the murder of John Kennedy, the Bilderberger Society, the infiltration into places like the Carousel Club, where Jack Ruby ran his operation in Dallas, the Vacaville Prison. It goes into the CIA and the mob and the right-wing Cuban organizations, the Kent State killings, the Manson family, the SLA, the Watergate, the Unification Church of the Moonies, the FBI's involvement in the South Dakota Indians, the Phoenix Program of William Colby, which I said came back to the United States and formed the SLA and CIA, the mind control control programs, the oil millionaire H.L. Hunt. This book is a goldmine of information that links these secret societies that infiltrate into the Mason Group to all of the operations that I, as I say, I've been talking about for years on this program and are being exposed in Italy. If you follow the newspapers the past week, go to the library and get them, and then look for the ones that are coming out in the weeks to come. In this book, the chronology of the Illuminoids, he goes back to 1770 with the founding of the modern Freemasonry Society, 1721, how Masonry was introduced into France, 1728, it was introduced into Spain, and 1731, how Benjamin Franklin in the United States went into Masonry. As a matter of fact, Charles Manson, at his trial of the Manson family, was giving hand signs as a Mason to the judge on the bench, and they were communicating with specific hand signs that they had learned in their Masonry. This goes into the chronology in 1735, the introduction of the Masons into Portugal, Russia, and Italy, and then it updates it to the Council of Foreign Relations in 1921 that was formed in England, Mussolini with his links to the Italian and British intelligence coming together with the mafia from Sicily, and then the connecting links of Hitler's National Socialist Party in 1923 in Germany and the Teapot Dome scandal with President Harding. This book has a chronology of J. Edgar Hoover taking over the FBI in 1924 and has an interconnecting link of particular lodges or suspicion of the Masons being involved in assassination teams and overthrowing of governments and controlling the world power. So as he follows this chronology through all of the various episodes, it's interesting to see it coming out in the terms of a Mason scandal and involving assassination teams down from Argentina and banking scandals of money that have gone into fascist organizations of heroin traffic and assassination squads combined with financiers from the Vatican. The thing that is so unusual about this case that's breaking this week is pinning it to a lodge in the Masons, because if a person wants to understand them, you can read the book, The Illuminides, and get a vision of it. There's another book out some of you might know called The Cosmic Trigger, and it's by Robert Anton Wilson, The Final Secret of the Illuminati. And in that book, he mentions me, also Neil Wilgus mentions our family and myself in his book, The Illuminoids, in his chronology. You'll see us in there, and my research and so forth in that book. But in Robert Anton Wilson's Cosmic Trigger, he wrote, "May Brussel, the world's greatest single conspiracy buff, has insisted over various underground stations, radio stations, that virtually all the terrorists left is secret CIA operation to discredit the rest of the left." And he says that, and he refers to some of the allegations of the Labour Party too, and he said, "Neither May Brussel nor the Labour Party are better at preparing evidential case than the late Joseph McCarthy, but the Watergate investigations reveal that the FBI's COINTEL program did involve agent provocateurs and attempts to divide the left by inciting crime and spreading paranoia. Maybe all the paranoids are right after all. Maybe." So after he begins to think that you're too much of a conspiracy buff by linking them, he has to apologize that in fact, the allegations I've been making on the radio stations are true. And in The Illuminoids by Neil Wilgus, he has a continuous series of these conspiracies and assassinations and secret government operations, including the COINTEL program, the SLA, the Manson family, and so forth. So that the Italian scandal that is out at this time is a continuation of the allegations that have been made by not only myself on the radio station, but the authors of the literal hundreds or thousands of books on this subject now, trying to point out how this body works, the secret team, how it works through narcotics traffic, the books on the mob, or through mind control operations and experimentations, those books, or books on government operations on the FBI, the CIA, and specific government agencies, the National Security Council, and the Defense Department, the Torbett document. There are many, many books on this team and these hidden teams, the government within a government, and the one in Italy is peeking through right now. There's an article in the Washington Post, the Italian officials are resigning in a row about the Masons. And it goes on to describe Justice Adolfo Sarti resigned today after his name was linked to a Masonic lodge that the Italian prosecutors are investigating as an alleged criminal association. There is a widening scandal about this lodge that has led to the arrest of a former Secret Service colonel. There's charges of illegal activity, bribery, tax evasion in the oil industry, and a far-reaching plot to set up an authoritarian regime in Italy. That's what they tried, as I say, in Spain in February. They succeeded in Ecuador this month. They succeeded in Bangladesh. They tried removing Reagan by the bullet. If they didn't do that, they still have control of a very scared man who got the message. And the same with the Pope. This group is trying to set up authoritarian operations in every country, but they got caught in Italy, and some of them are put in jail. This coup almost took place in Italy, like it almost took place in Spain. But I'm not sure that the masses of the population or everybody involved in the police or Secret Service want to go along with it, or the banking officials. And that's why these regimes seem to be falling apart, and in particularly in Italy, the scandal is breaking now, and it might have to do with the assassination attempt on the Pope. As I say, high officials in the government are described in the Washington Post article, and their links to the Secret Service in Italy specifically, and how one of the men involved who's been arrested, this Adolfo Sarti, his name has been linked to the Masonic Lodge, is the one who helped make battles against terrorists in Italy. Now, the very group that are involved in overthrowing the Italian government have been in charge of finding terrorists in Italy. And you'll find later that this will go back to the Aldo Moro kidnapping and murder that was not done by a leftist Red Brigade, but was done by a right-wing group. And I have articles linking it to Michael Sindona and his banking financiers, again, the ones who kidnapped him, took him to Italy to clean up some matters before he came back to the United States jails. Now, these people are in charge of terrorism. This is the same mentality that we have with Ronald Reagan giving speeches about terrorism and Alexander Haig talking about terrorism, or William French Smith. I warned months before Reagan ever came into office that the shtick of Reagan and Haig is to whip up the lather about the terrorists, when they know that the Army and the FBI and the COINTEL programs have set up the terrorists so they have an excuse to get more control of us. They don't want it to look like a hidden government behind a government, so they have to make actions take place on the street that are the excuse for their having control. Richard Nixon from 1968 until he's out of office in 73, when at the height of Watergate in 74, had Operation Chaos. Why would the FBI want to have chaos among students, youth people, organizations that have a right to assemble under our Constitution? Why do they need to create chaos? They called it Operation Chaos with our tax dollars. The reason they have to have chaos is so that they can have control. It gives them the legitimate excuse for control, where they don't want to say, well, we're a hidden government and we're in now, so we're going to kick out the legitimate government. That wouldn't look very well, so they have to create the situation. Well, I'll go more next week into the links of Mohammed Ajah, who shot the Pope, and the reasons for shooting the Pope at this time, and the links to this scandal. But save the articles on this scandal for the Washington Post, the New York Times, and follow it closely, because make the parallels with what they're saying there about the Army generals, the heads of the anti-terrorist squad, the elite police squad, the newspaper people, the judges. The parallels are similar in all the countries that have been overthrown, and they're similar to a group in the White House at the present time under Richard Allen and William Casey and Ronald Reagan. And hopefully, maybe we can avert that kind of crisis in this country if we follow some of this missing fascist money. That's the way to stop it, is to follow the missing millions. And that's why I've been talking about those missing millions for week after week until this Italian scandal broke. Our time is up now. I'll get back with the scandal next week and more. This is Mae Brussel in Carmel, California.
This has been World Watchers International with noted conspiracy investigator Mae Brussel. This program originates from Carmel, California.